Speak to us of comfort, courage, hope, and acceptance. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim, beautiful Patrice. Thank you.
No problem.
How's everybody doing? Welcome to Keith and the Girl. If you're new, go to keithandthegirl.com, look around, check out everything. Phone number 646-502-8682, keithandthegirl.com/feedback, and we'll read everything you're typing as the show goes on. I want to start with this. Finally saw the movie, No Country for Old Men.
I forgot you didn't see it with us, because I saw it with her.
You guys saw it?
Yeah.
Henda, do you remember saying if you thought I would like it or not like it?
I don't remember what I said, but I didn't think that you would think it was the greatest movie ever. I thought that maybe you would appreciate the weirdness in the violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the random killings, that kind of thing. But I didn't think that you would appreciate such a storyline, you know, like, because there wasn't really.
And we saw it under extreme conditions as well, because we saw it at BAM. And BAM is one of those movie theaters with, like, snooty attitude. You're there for a film. You're not there for a movie experience.
The Brooklyn Academy of Music.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Academy Music. They have Rose Cinemas, and it's very, like, just as an example, Laurie and I went to see Pan's Labyrinth there, and we're, like, doing the girl, like, oh, my God, there's things, and people get cut. And this woman's like, I'm trying to watch the film. They just cut that woman's face open. We had a moment. Excuse us. It's very, like, you're here for the cinema.
Because it's probably something symbolic.
See, yeah. I'm glad you didn't tell me that, because I just thought I was in a movie theater. I had no idea.
No, but I don't act like that, but there's a tenseness around it.
But I didn't think, I for sure thought, even if you liked the movie, you would despise the ending and just throw it all out.
Nice.
So how'd I do?
I place your bets, by the way, if you're in the chat room right now. Did Keith like this movie?
I said he liked it.
Or did not like this movie. I have either very, very much loved the movie.
Okay.
Or very, very much hated the movie.
There's no in between there.
There, I will give you that as a clue.
Okay.
To this piece of shit film.
Really?
This boring?
Okay.
Piece? It was also long, right?
It was lengthy.
Mm.
It's 2 hours.
Okay.
It's boring.
But it's not action-y 2 hours, so it feels longer.
Exactly.
Well, because the guy stares a lot, and Keith doesn't like the starers, so that's your first hint.
There's a lot of silent transference. You're supposed to, you know, take this away from this very quiet 4 minutes of the movie.
You look at even if you didn't see the movie and you see the promo, and you see the main bad guy, and the way he walks, talks, and moves, he is bored as well.
Javier Bardem.
He is sick of doing this film.
He wanted the day off. This
I get it.
Bullshit.
I go around using this air compressor to break door locks. I get it. He actually only killed one person, right, with that lock.
That's the point.
He hit the other guy by accident, but he killed one person.
I don't remember.
He uses it mostly to knock. It's how you used to kill cows. And he uses that.
You hit him in between the eyes or something like that?
Is that what you used to kill cows?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I just thought he made something. I thought he MacGyvered up something to kill someone.
I recognized it from something else, but I didn't.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was like he reversed some vacuum or something.
That's okay, because Tommy Lee Jones was probably telling you a story about cow killing, and you fell asleep. I would not blame you.
He was the Sleepy Town Sheriff. Leave him alone.
He was a Sleepy Town fucking sheriff. I just understood this movie wouldn't have much of an ending, and I'm debating, and I'm looking like, I wonder what it's not going to be. It didn't have a beginning either. It didn't have a fucking middle. Who are the Mexicans? I don't know. I don't know who shot up the mom. I didn't even know the main guy who found the money died. I didn't even know that.
The Mexicans were the drug runners that had the money in originally.
Where'd they come from? Who's hiring them? It's not important. None of that's fucking
important.
That's
not important. What important?
I didn't think that was important.
That wasn't important. The Mexicans, the origin of the Mexicans wasn't important.
Okay. I didn't think so. He just found them, so it was like, you can just
find
them.
He stumbled upon their situation. They didn't go looking for him,
but
originally.
He keeps coming back. The Mexicans keep coming back into the story.
Because he has their shit.
All of a sudden, there's three Mexicans fucking shooting people up.
Do you just not like it when Mexicans turn up on
I don't like Mexicans, first off. And Javier isn't with them.
But he's secretly Mexican.
It's horrible. And if I have to hear another old-timey talk by Tommy Lee Jones.
Look, that's his Pacino move, is doing the old-timey talk.
Oh, my God.
Pacino does the woo-ha, and he does the Sleepy Town Sheriff that's wise beyond his very advanced years.
I get it. Times are more disgusting now. No Country for Old Men, I guess, means times have changed, and people are more dangerous, and it's not a place for old people. I guess. Like, sick shit wasn't happening throughout time.
But at least you were fast enough to get away from the sick shit previously. When you're old, you're not fast enough.
Such sweeping imagery. It's a desert.
It's a well-made movie, though.
Really? Now, what does that mean?
It's shot well.
When
it's
you say though,
movie.
That almost means like I had good points. However, it was well done.
I'm saying it's one thing to say it lacks story. There's really shitty movies like the shot shitty, the script shitty, and it doesn't have any content to it. This movie, it'll either get you or it won't get you, but either way, you can't deny that it's shot well.
Can I just say I love that Patrice comes over and Keith is like pulling down his pants, taking a hot steamy shit on something, and Patrice will say something like, it's shot well, and wait for a genuine response from Keith,
what?
And look him straight in the eye and go, and expect him to go, you know what, you're right.
Not that I'm right, but you can't say that it wasn't shot well.
I could.
Poo just turned to diarrhea.
They have money for good cameras. I would hope it was.
But they could have taken the good money with the good cameras and still made a shitty movie. Miami Vice, I hated every moment of it. They've made up new film technology for the movie. Had it been a better story, I would have wanted to see a franchise.
Do you think somebody said this movie's deep and everybody's just playing along?
No.
Like, will it be refreshing that I'm saying this and people go, oh, fucking thank you?
No, because I can say There Will Be Blood. Daniel Day-Lewis is one of the finest actors of our time. I could not watch that movie to save my fucking life.
This movie,
I couldn't make it through it.
No Country for Old Men. Best Picture of the Year, of course.
Yes.
Best Directing. Best Screenplay. I printed out a review that I saw on IMDb. You can tell this guy's really into it. Just to see, you know, what I missed when I blinked. Because apparently I blinked a lot.
Wait, before you do that, I just want to say it's not my kind of movie. I don't like when people kill each other.
Okay.
I don't want to see it.
I can say that. I don't like zombie movies. I can say that.
I don't like zombie movies either. I'd rather feel something else watching a movie mm-hmm. than, oh my God, he just got killed and there's blood. I'd rather feel something else. However, I can see why somebody would like it.
Mm-hmm.
Old Country, whatever, No Man, whatever.
Right.
I can see why somebody would like it. They would need a little more patience in a little different direction than how we think. But I could see it. However, I don't understand how it won Best Picture and all that stuff, because somehow it became a pop culture movie when it's not that kind of movie.
Right.
It's not your average Joe's movie. It's a little more artsy. It's a little more, I don't know, it's not fast-paced and all that stuff. And I'm sorry, that's what makes it into the general public's, desire
okay,
and
okay, fine, there is
want.
A trickle-down effect where it became more popular than it could have been had it been just based on story, but that's the reason you have Best Picture and Best Direction.
I think it became popular because it's the reason that Keith said, which is
people decided people they needed to like it to be smart.
Exactly. That's why I think...
And if you did that, that's dumb anyway.
But. Exactly. This is not the kind of movie that usually make... And I'm not saying no smart movies make it big. There are some things that are both entertaining and mm-hmm. smart at the same time and move along a little faster.
But
and
there is like a latch-on thing a lot of times with movies.
Yeah,
that's
so
true.
This is just a latch-on thing.
Everything's... Right. I understand that everything's not for me, but I don't understand how this... The whole world, except Keith Malley and Hemda, is saying best fucking everything. It's... the cinematography, to go fuck yourself. The guy, he puts... The bad guy, like, eats sunflower seeds, then crinkles it up, puts it on the counter. I gotta watch it uncrinkle for, like, 2 fucking minutes. That's what happens when you're done crinkling up cellophane like that.
It's life passing, Keith. It's life passing.
Right, it's life passing. Yeah, my life's fucking passing. And then so many... Han Solo brought that up, the rapper. But, yeah, so many fucking shots. The bad guy sits down on a chair and is just staring at a blank TV set.
Okay.
Oh, because he's fucking wacko. Hold on 1 second. Then later, Tommy Lee Jones sits in the chair and looks at the same blank TV, and we see his silhouette. Fascinating! Oh, that's fucking fascinating! And you know what? He drinks from the same milk carton that this killer did. Who, by the way, is the baddest motherfucker. They make that clear.
Right? He is.
I mean,
He is. What's so funny? He's going around killing people.
No, it's a pretty cold-blooded weirdo.
Serious. That sequence with the when he got into town and he was in the hotel and he jumps out the window, that whole sequence was out of control.
Never mind that. How about the one where he's in the store and the old man and he goes pick heads or tails?
Yeah.
That was creepy.
That's
he
nutty.
He is a creepy old man.
Okay. He's a creepy, right?
No,
he's
no.
The worst.
Creepy in life.
Super creepy.
How could you kill someone?
You're not a murderer to murder.
So point blank, so dead in your eyes, mm-hmm. so nothing felt afterwards.
How did Hannibal Lecter do it?
Well, he enjoyed it at least.
There was more
something.
Style to that.
There was
more.
Something.
There was way more style. He was doing judgment calls. This was different.
This was really. It was. There was a definite. No, you're wrong about that.
About what?
That there's. That he's not the one of the top. yuck, oh my God, this guy is such a freak murderer.
Okay, so then we agree. We agree this guy's the fucking freakiest murderer in the whole motherfucking Tri-County town.
He's a badass, yeah.
He's the worst bad. I mean, you watch out. Tommy Lee Jones is like, you did some bad shit, but I'm going to protect you because you don't know who you're met. This bad motherfucker. I mean,
they're Mexicans.
He's fucking bad. But more than that, Javier is a motherfucking bad. I mean, bad. So I sit down and I realize Javier's been here. He drank the milk and the milk is still cold. I'm going to have some of the milk, too. Maybe get in his head. I'm sure it wasn't poisoned or anything, because he's not that bad. That would be an asshole move.
Who thinks someone's coming over your house to drink the milk you left out?
Well, he's a badass.
He went into somebody else's house.
I didn't think of that,
I didn't think you would poison... I didn't think he'd
Why would you
the
poison
milk?
The milk? Right, we all know he uses a shotgun with the silencer and a compression tank. That's how a crazy person kills.
No. When have you walked in a house while solving a murder, like how you solve murders? When have you ever walked in someone's house and, you know what I need right now? I need some milk.
Yeah, but when has that? But when has somebody used a compression tank to kill someone? It's just, if you're going to be that sharp, then maybe remain that sharp, I guess.
I guess.
You know, I guess. It's a point that maybe people aren't generally thinking about.
But were you, when you went in, were you in the head of expecting to see a slicker movie? Yeah. As far as the action, as far as the pace.
Let me explain to you what I had.
You keep saying bad guy.
Oh, that's the irony. Maybe he's
thinking,
the good guy, right?
No. Everybody else no, is I didn't the even get guy. That deep with you. You keep saying bad guy like you're thinking traditional action.
How did you know who I was talking about?
No, I think you're misunderstanding what
you're
saying.
Because you keep
saying
afterwards, you say something about Javier Bardem. That's how I know. But you keep using the term bad guy, and that's for action movies.
So what is
That's for your Indiana Joneses and that kind of thing.
What should I say?
This wasn't, it's not like that.
He's not nothing. How do I describe
he's
him?
He's almost like he's an antagonist. He's the one, he's the reason all these people are connected at this point.
Okay. All right,
he's the connector.
Can I say bad guy just to speed things up?
No, but you're saying to speed things up, but did you walk in thinking you were going to see a bad guy, a good guy, and an in-between? You can't... It's not that defined with this movie, though.
Am I the only one that can just watch a fucking movie? Do I have to... Well, everybody prepares themselves for these movies. I sit down. I'm going to watch the movie. I saw Lions for Lambs today. I like it. Obviously, what's his name? Robert...
What's that about?
Downey Jr.?
No, the guy that directed it. Robert Redford. Obviously, he's left-leaning. But I like Tom Cruise's character and why we're in Iraq and
Tom
stuff.
Cruise,
it's a war
Meryl
movie.
Streep?
Yes. I thought it was pretty good. I just pressed play. That's how I got into the movie.
But you pick up a movie for a reason. You've read something. You have some kind of preformed idea in a sense, even if you don't have the whole plot laid out in your head. If you pick up No Country for Old Men going, oh, I'm going to watch an action film, you're going to be disappointed.
I knew nothing about... I
get her point because I do need
I know I'm wrong.
However,
you know your genre you're about to go into. And if you go into this thinking action movie, you're going to be disappointed.
I don't think he's wrong because even if you go in there thinking action movie, you might... It's okay to feel disappointed for a second, like, oh, I thought it was this kind of movie, but if a movie's good, it'll just suck
it'll
you in the other
that.
Way. Yeah, in whatever movie it's supposed to be, it'll just suck you into that. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be that good that it makes you feel whatever it's supposed to make you feel, regardless of your feeling beforehand.
That's true.
So I went in not knowing, I'd never even heard of it because I don't hear of anything, but I never heard of it, and it wasn't as popular when I first watched it.
Right, we saw it a little bit before all the Oscar buzz.
No idea. All I knew is that Spooky liked it, and I should know, Spooky and I don't have the same...
All I heard is that Spooky, I should have been suspicious. But.
Yeah.
No, but I think
Spooky
when you try to slot
times.
Him... that was like his sixth time saying it. Yeah. When you try to slot it as him being a bad guy, I think... You take on a different mindset and you start expecting things from him.
What do you think of Spooky liking it so much that he saw it 6-10 times, whatever,
or however
at this
many.
Point? Yeah.
He saw it a bunch of times. It wasn't his first time when he saw it with us. Right. It was like...
What do you think? Does
we
it make sense
multiples.
To you that Spooky likes this so much?
I hesitate to say it because I know this just makes me sound stupid. But I really think people are reaching to some deep shit that really is not there. When I would look
see,
on...
I think when Spooky watches it, he sees the
he
things
takes away
that we
a bit
don't
more.
See. I really think
And I think
he
that's why
it.
He had to see it multiple times, too, because there's a different message depending on which character you're following
and
as your main character.
I think your average person is not Spooky and does not see it like that. And that is why it wasn't supposed to be a popular movie. Because Spooky is not pop culture.
Right.
So I get why Spooky likes it, and it makes sense, and I get that he sees things differently, and that's his version of depth and weird perspective. Like, he likes all that stuff, and he sees things in an artsy way, and it makes sense. But for it to be popular,
it shouldn't have been popular. You're right.
By the way, just in case anybody's curious, who did I follow? The wife. the wife of the guy that robbed the money. That was the main character to me. How dare you tell me otherwise? That was the main character to me.
Oh, man.
Well, you watch it your own way,
dear. That's right, babe.
And the nerdy deputy. The one that was nervous all the time.
The dummy one?
Yeah.
He's a stupid, let's just go inside.
He was the bad guy to me.
Oh.
He represented innocence lost. If I see innocence lost, that stupid phrase that dummies say.
Nothing raises your ire.
Nothing more. Nothing more. Mexicans and the phrase innocence lost. This represents innocence.
And they usually
innocence.
Go together.
Yeah, you dummy. This isn't your junior high school report, innocence lost. Fucking have a thought. Innocence lost.
Innocence lost.
It did give room to too many people who thought they were smart to have shitty conversations. I give
well,
you that much.
Yeah,
about that
when
movie.
You think you're smart and you're just saying what everybody else says, that's annoying.
Yeah, you know what? They love to, they also say, like, he's not just a bad. Like, I understand what you guys saying this guy's creepy. I understand
right.
that. Okay. But also to act like it's so deep what he's doing.
I'm not saying it was deep.
They
I'm
love.
It was well acted.
I'm
creepy.
Seeing all this stuff on the internet, like, that, oh, he's so deep what he does. Like, it's he has this moral thing in his head. You fucking idiots.
No, I don't think that's.
You know who's. You know why you're saying that? Do you know why you're saying it? Because Woody Harrelson told you that.
Oh, yeah.
He said, and I quote, you can't understand this guy. He's fucking deep. Ah, he is deep, because Woody said.
I'll understand what you're saying, because I will say a revolutionary sentence right now. Mm-hmm. I did not like Napoleon Dynamite at all.
Me neither.
At all. I didn't get it. I didn't think it was funny.
I didn't get it either.
I didn't enjoy a single moment of the thing. I wanted to leave, but I was with people that were having a good old time. I didn't understand it.
I don't even like
Why was that humorous?
Yeah, I didn't even like what people took away from it and kept spitting back at me.
I don't get it.
I did like it. I know you
that
liked it.
That didn't do
it.
Nothing for me.
I think
Keith liked it, and I think, and I really liked that you didn't like it, and that you liked it and I didn't like it, because
right.
a lot of times Keith, people think I just pick up what Keith likes and doesn't
right,
like.
Right.
But we have huge different tastes in movies a lot of times, but sometimes we have the same opinion. We go, I don't get it.
Nobody else took away that he might have been slightly retarded. Like, that's not funny.
Well, there's that when I was young, I had people pick.
Think about it. All that repetitive shit. He was retarded.
I think he just had Asperger's.
I used to make when I was a kid. I made up that I was a professional three-wheeler rider. Bullies would pick on me sometimes, and I would think like, oh, I can understand. I mean, younger than him, but maybe I would have acted like I fucking fought.
A lot younger than
slash
him.
Slash lion tiger.
He was too old for that shit.
But I get it. Like, I got the movie, and you girls won.
No, I get it.
Not just
because
it was
it.
A boy. I don't. All the taglines that people took away from
yeah,
it, they wanted
it.
To spit back at you, I didn't find humorous. The older brother was creepy.
Yeah, I get it, Keith. I do. I really
no,
do get
it. No, I get
it.
Why you liked it.
But
I get
don't.
It,
but I don't like watching that kind of stuff.
You also get why they repeat lines, right? Because they think people think it's funny. It's like if I hear one more fucking time, hey Keith, at the end there's cake. The cake's not real. The cake's not real. It's like
okay.
you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right,
you didn't play the Portal
you're parodying,
game.
Right.
Right. The cake's not real. You don't even know what the fuck you're saying. Because you know what? You do get cake. Did you know that? Sitting there on the table waiting
well,
for you.
Technically, the cake's not real because the real recipe doesn't work out. But that's a whole different story.
That's something Patrice and I had to work out.
Girl.
All right, here it is. Here's this guy's review. Let's see. Maybe I'll learn something. It was not very long ago I watched No Country for Old Men that I watched the other remarkable film of 2007, There Will Be Blood.
Jesus Christ, that movie killed me.
Back then, I thought that Paul Thomas Anderson has delivered the best picture of the year with his oil epic, but after watching the Coen brothers' chilling and violent adaptation of Cormac McCarthy's 2005 novel, I knew right away that here was a film destined to be even greater than any I've seen in this past year. It's not easy to watch No Country for Old Men.
It is easy.
I like when people say it's not easy to watch a movie. Like,
well, to me, there are parts that weren't easy to watch because I don't like people. I don't like watching people getting killed, so I turned away.
That's my problem with
right.
There Will Be Blood. It was too graphic in the killing. Like
you heard
the noises, like when things would fall on someone, you would hear that thud. The Foley was really good in that movie, so it was just it throws me whenever you do that.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention to this movie's Foley too. To be honest,
fuck you, Keith. Allen.
How do you go in?
Don't be mad because I know a word.
How do you go in planning to listen to sound?
No, when someone's skull gets cracked, like the American History X scene that throws everyone. It's just
I didn't
much.
Look at that either. I never saw it, not once.
That shit's emotional.
I rewound it.
He did. We saw it for the first time together.
It's always good when white power perseveres.
Right, babe? We saw it together for the first time?
I saw it with Adam for the first time.
Oh, really?
All secrets.
Well, when we saw I don't know. When we saw it, all I know is I remember there was a movie, and I think it was this.
It was that. I still had to rewind it.
It was. He rewound it 3 times, and I looked away the whole time. I never saw that scene one time because I know that's
it's
something I can't undo.
Oh, yeah, it's too much.
The first time I saw No Country for Old Men, I found myself dazed enough to not be able to stand up immediately after the whole end credits have finished.
Maybe because it was so goddamn long and your legs were tired?
Maybe that was it. Like, ooh, the fucking desert!
That's a bit too much food.
Woo! Anyway.
You know, Sejizzle says it, he's expressing what I wanted to express about what you said, that it was so deep or whatever. Anton What's-His-Face isn't that deep. That's the whole point of the fucking movie. He's a character without morals or motivation. He just likes to kill and you don't know why. That's why he's so creepy.
I get it.
That's right.
That's almost his motivation, though, that you don't know why he likes to kill. Like, okay. He doesn't have anything
behind it. But it's not deep. It's just...
No, it's not deep.
Human beings are gross.
It's different than the guy who's killing to find who killed his brother. Like, he doesn't have a mission in the movie.
Right. And that's not really deep.
But people decided it was deep, that he didn't have a motivation. Because most killers probably don't really have a motivation, except I kind of like to kill.
By the way, this shouldn't be a deep movie. This should be, like, something that we're appalled at.
And yet, you're right. Right, like, I mean,
A lot of movies, you know, you have a lot of violence, and there's, you know, women outside, where this is bad for my kids, blah, blah, blah. Where were they for this one? This one was really disturbing.
It was.
And yet, mixed with the feeling of shock is the profound sense of wonder and awe with what I have just witnessed on the screen. This was glorious!
Wonder and awe is just dumb.
That's
to
a
say.
Bit much.
Wonder and awe.
It took me another viewing to fully appreciate the meaning and intention of the film. And while I think it's about us being in Iraq, and while the experience from watching the film is not one everybody will enjoy and understand, because people are dumb, I fucking get it. I'm brilliant.
I'm smarter than most of the dumb people.
It certainly is one of the most moving and thought-provoking movies I have ever watched.
Let's not get out of control.
I get it. Tommy Lee Jones has regret and he's getting old. End of it. The end. Another speech about how your time is done, old man. This is the kind of movie that'll make you think. The kind that stays with you even after a long time has passed since you've last watched it. If you do a radio show, you'll have to spend time talking about it. On the literal level, it is a simple cat-and-mouse chase thriller movie. But that's for dummies like Keith. But from within its roots lie a very profound philosophical and penetrating analysis not only of the characters and the situation involved in the story, but also of the kind of world we are living in today and the more monstrous sides of it we often choose to ignore. Where is this guy hanging out? The story revolves around the chase between a guy named Llewellyn Moss who stumbles upon a stash of money.
He's going to describe the entire movie in his post?
Yeah, he's going to let you know. And with words like a mix of thrill, excitement, awe, scenery, enriched. And I'm not lying, innocence lost.
Innocence lost. It always comes back to innocence,
innocence
lost.
Is lost.
Every movie you can
I'm
use
I'm sorry, but
lost.
Who is innocent in this movie? Innocence lost? Not even, I mean, the sheriff doesn't have innocence to lose.
The goofy sheriff. He was innocent. He had nothing to do with it.
I don't think he lost anything. His brain wasn't found for a long time.
Okay.
This is not part of their innocence lost. I'm saying, no.
It's just the wrong phrase. It's a smart sentence to say.
It's the wrong phrase to use for this movie, though. Use a different smart phrase. Here's another one, Brian Ward coming in. I just finished reading a book that made me scratch my head in confusion the whole time. I went to read reviews to see what other people thought. And it got 5 stars, best book ever, etc. One comment read, you need to read this book at least 3 times to, quote, get it.
That was bullshit.
He goes, that to me says that the book is not well written.
Correct. That's a skill. To, by the way.
Right, to describe something so well that it just seeps in and hugs you with what you're looking at is genius. It's very hard to even on a daily basis describe what exactly, like, what. When I need Keith to get me a pen from somewhere, no, not over there, a little higher, little lower, a little high. You know, the words are difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the very end of the movie, too, where beyond what I thought, the way you stopped it and didn't finish these people's story is beyond how bad I even imagined.
Really?
The balls. When we do the Keith McGurr relationship book, I'm leaving blank every 10th page.
No, I don't get having to read a book 3 times to like it, but I get rereading a book and taking away something different.
You're right.
I read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory as a school assignment, wrote my nice little book report, and it was like, oh, this book is fabulous. This is the best, funnest book. I wish I was Charlie. I read that shit as an adult.
that was kind of sad. Why are your grandparents all sleeping in one bed? What's going on, Charlie? Why can't one of them get up? Grandpa got up to go to the chocolate factory. Why couldn't he get up and go get a job? Is Willy Wonka a child toucher?
That
There's
is
so
true.
Many questions.
That's true, and it doesn't always have to be, you know, such a different point of view. It just has to be like, oh, I didn't catch that the first time. But it was still enjoyable. It was still, I still got a picture out of it.
I still enjoyed the book, but it was like you take away a different message depending on where you are.
Also amazing was the photography of the movie. The vast scenes in the desert, where even the ordinary moviegoer would consider as empty scenes, where no action is played out, tells a story in a visual manner that, you know, we're in the fucking desert, and there's trucks.
And dead people.
I get it. No Country for Old Men is rich in such bravura kind of filmmaking. The particular camera move, position, and choice of background and other trivial details such as time of day, cloud cover, or positioning of the props, and point of view perspective offer the best experience for the audience, the most effective means of storytelling for the Coen brothers.
I'm not going to give the Coen brothers credit for picking out the clouds, but there were some really nice shots.
Just watch scenes of Tommy Lee Jones as the tormented old sheriff being burdened by the challenge of something that is greater a force than himself, something that he, quote, does not understand, and you will realize what I mean.
All they did was not put a lot of makeup on him and make him act grizzled. Like, he did his, this is his Pacino move now, is playing the old sheriff.
I must say that I can't help but agree to most people when I say that
Javier Bardem
is the most disturbing character and yet mesmerizing to grace the screen since Anthony Hopkins introduced us to Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs.
No.
I'm sorry, but I didn't like Silence of the Lambs either, and I know I'm the only one.
I never saw it, and I can disagree.
I don't appreciate it.
Did you watch it?
I didn't see it.
I watched it.
Did you watch it? Or did you sleep through it?
I don't know. I think that is okay. One of the movies maybe I could see again, but I really was not interested.
I didn't see it, but I would think that was a bit more pop culture and easy accessible as far as I really like that
because
movie.
You understood the crazy in the guy.
What I know of it.
Like that kind of crazy. I don't know. This guy's just running. It doesn't matter. Did you see Big Fish?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I liked it, but I understand not liking it.
Yeah, that's one of the movies, like, I was on the floor, like, emotionally by the time that was done. I know, I was crying. I was crying to a point where I was, like, with a group of people, and I was like, I gotta go to the bathroom.
But you either thought it was really good?
I had to finish crying. But I wonder if my state of mind had to do with it.
Okay.
I don't remember what my state of mind was, but I wonder. It was so beautiful. And it didn't, like, Keith took a day to tell me his real thoughts about it, because his thoughts were...
Because
okay.
Basically, if you're not in that place, it's a two-hour movie about dementia.
It really is. I could really see somebody going...
But he was
fucking,
nuts.
Yeah, it's dumb. And I just thought it was so... I thought it was glorious.
It was an exploration of Alzheimer's. How about that?
Right.
Yeah, and I can totally see why this is not good. And I don't appreciate when people go, how are you so stupid that you don't get it? Because I would never... I wouldn't even recommend Big Fish to anyone.
No.
Really, you know? I would have to really see Big Fish in their face.
It's kind
you know
of a
what
goofy
I mean?
Movie, but
yeah,
it's good.
But I was on the floor. But that doesn't mean that you have to get it, or I got something that nobody else did. It just hit
but
me.
But for so many people to claim to get this movie, so I guess that's, is the issue.
It's kind of ridiculous to me.
Like Lecter, he personifies evil, not in the conventional and simple sense. We all know that one. But in a way that somehow presents to us the whole magnitude and complexity of its nature. He was a walking Frankenstein, by the way, if you could tell me what was complex about that.
Maybe people are just desperate for the next whatchamacallit movie.
That's why I think he went back to something that's such another big pop culture thing. Is like people can relate to that and go, oh, well, if it's like that, of course I'll like it because I like the first thing.
Right. What's the name of that movie? Hannibal.
Silence of the Lambs. I saw the sequels.
Maybe because
there
wasn't...
I didn't see the original, but...
I didn't see any of it. Well, I did, the first one. Maybe because it's such a, like, everyone liked it so much, and it was so whatever it was, that people want to compare it as fast as possible to anything else. It's been a while.
Yeah, the film's monumental achievement is in its ability to remarkably transport us, here we go, into a world where the places, emotions, fears, anxieties, choices, morals, and realities of life are strikingly brought to life and presented to us in a manner where we, after the whole experience, can reflect upon and look back with careful consideration, blah, blah, blah. Is it me, or after two pages of a review, did he not say anything?
Yeah,
he didn't, actually.
True.
He just used all his big words at once.
People aren't saying anything. Here's Believes. The whole experience of a movie is taking a character from beginning to an end. Like Keith said, the end is the hardest part. It's easy to just stop telling a story. It's making it end at the right moment where the audience feels they get your point. That's the difficult part. If the guy who found the money was the protagonist, we should have seen his death, and it should have been more dramatic. When they just showed him lying dead, I didn't even recognize him, and I thought it was some random Mexican dude. If you're going to kill the person that seems to be the main character, you can't make it that vague. I didn't know.
I don't remember that being so vague.
I didn't know he died.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I don't remember that being vague.
I wasn't unclear about his death.
I thought it was like the wife's mom and somebody else, and I didn't even care. Yeah. If Javier is the main character, you can't just show him running down the street with a broken arm. If your point is that he lives on, show him dying at 80 or something. For all I know, someone kills him when he gets down the block.
How are we going to have a sequel if we tell you all that?
Mm-hmm. I love the Coen brothers and I still love the movie, but they should have, A, showed the death of the man you're constantly worried about the whole movie, ended it before the pointless car wreck, or made Javier's philosophy a little clearer. It's really not that difficult to justify murder with philosophy, and his reasoning was muddled at best. He's right.
I'm sorry, muddled it.
Junior says, I think it was the perfect ending. Brolin was killed by some Mexican guys. Oh, okay, you know how they do.
La-di-da.
His part of the story is over. The main bad guy, if I dare say, continues his relentless killing path, and Tommy Lee Jones retires and contemplates how unnecessary he is now. I don't know what else you could want. And Belize brings this up, because this is a very good point. I don't know what else you can want. I told you what I fucking want. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with these smart people, too. They don't listen.
No, they're being smart, Keith. They know what you need.
Yeah, I think it was fine. I can't even imagine what you can want. The part where I said an ending. The part where you know how you had to work hard to write the script? You gotta, like, work hard to end the script, too. So, how about more movies with no endings? That's brilliant. It's a cop-out. It's not a brilliant move. It's a cop-out. Typical listener. My favorite thing to say to people that saw it and were irked by the non-ending was, well, how would you have wanted it to end?
How would you have wanted it to end?
Oh, come on. I'm not
ready. A ending! That's the thing I'm giving you. You could do anything.
It was all open options.
I don't mind. But I'll tell you what.
Why don't you ask me how I wanted the entire movie to go, then?
Exactly. I wanted less desert shots and more tits.
Okay.
And I didn't go into that movie with my dick out.
That's a reasonable request.
How would you have liked it, Ted? I would have liked it.
There weren't any tits.
You do that. Am I splitting the money with you? You make the movie. I watch the movie. I pay too much for popcorn. You do the work.
Really, they've increased the price and didn't tell anybody.
What happened?
Am I wrong? I went to the movies on Saturday. I spent $21. It was just me.
Did I tell you, Keith and I saw a movie, and then we thought we were so badass, and we snuck into the next movie. But at that point, you're hungry.
Right.
And now you're buying all this shit from
Bastards.
The stand. Yeah, and you're like, why didn't I just go out, get some real food,
right.
Not get sick? And I really got sick. I got a hot dog, and I'm like,
oh.
Okay, a hot dog doesn't make me full because I'm a pig. And then I'm like, what else do you have? They have the pretzel, because I'm trying to get food and not
that's
popcorn.
That's not going to happen.
Hot dog is shit. The pretzels, you figure, like, okay, that's the closest to not whatever. It is greased up and whatever.
And somebody just went like, ugh, before they put it on the grill, too, just to let you know.
So bad.
$21, and I bought the ticket. I had a small popcorn and a small soda.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we ended up spending about $20 on food because he's hungry, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we might
this
as well.
This one's got to eat.
I mean, it would have been much better if we went out and even had pizza because pizza's settling.
You just
got to
bring a sandwich
better.
In your purse. That's where we're at with the movies at this point in time.
It was like one movie ended and the next movie like just
right
started. Yeah. And Keith doesn't let me bring food into the theater.
Why?
What do you mean?
He thinks we're going to get caught.
Yeah, of course.
What theater do you know you get caught?
What are you guys talking about?
What theater
about?
Do you know that you even see anyone that works there for the most part?
You don't like when I bring food in because you think I'm too obvious. Because I just like to walk in with it like I own the place.
I don't give a shiz. I will pull out my Chipotle.
Okay. We,
Chipotle is good in the theater.
We like to go to white theaters, Patrice.
Who said I don't? You are a very presumptuous motherfucker. I don't go to black neighborhoods. I will get killed.
with your New Kids on the Block shirt.
You know? My New Kids on the Block t-shirt and my judgment. Look, Negroes, I don't feel like dropping anything like it's hot, okay? If you could move down a few seats, I would appreciate it. And stop hollering back and asking where you at. I've come for the film.
The movie ends, and you don't even know where the money went. Isn't that amazing? The movie's over. Where's the $2 million that the whole fucking movie was about?
Can I get a few dollars back?
That's not, that's not important to anybody where this money went.
Keith, when a movie makes you ask questions.
Well, not to get gossipy for a second, sure. But Michael Moore, he's doing a continuation of Fahrenheit 9/11.
Right.
And the studio is giving him $20 million to make the movie.
Wow.
But the movie only costs $7 million to make. So he's got a couple extra dollars at the house.
He eats a lot, though. You know, he's a higher per diem.
He's
than
on
most
a diet.
People.
He's fine.
Is he?
Yeah, he lost weight. He did a Peter Jackson and lost some weight, I heard. He went to the Duke Medical Center in North Carolina, which is really expensive to go to.
I want
to
know if that guy eats McDonald's because isn't he all against...
He eats entire hogs.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Everything bad?
Yeah,
but McDonald's, I mean...
Well, he didn't make Fast Food Nation. He can eat it.
Well, he had to have watched it, you know, I mean, looked into it.
Well, he doesn't have to be buddies with other filmmakers.
You know? He can do his thing.
Figured they're on the same realm of...
No. I like to make fun of political things. I don't worry about the food.
Oh, it's not politics that you take illegal immigrants.
God, I love Sonic. I'm not worried about that. Sonic, they put cheese inside of the tail. I can't fight with that. Let them kill some people if they have to. That shit tastes good. I'm sure that's his ethos on that.
Here's somebody else, by the way. See, Keith, how would you want to attend? I never get a straight answer out of anybody. I'll give you a straight answer. Okay? We never saw the person in that car. All right? That would have been what I called the good guy who stole the money. And he didn't really die, by the way, because you didn't see his body up close.
Way to get somebody removed from the Netflix queue.
He was in that. That's how I'm doing you a favor.
Okay.
He gets out, okay? Takes Javier's air gun and blows it right into Javier's balls. Those go all over the place. Javier can't believe himself. And then he looks at Javier's face and he goes, "You're a sick motherfucker." And Javier says something like, you know, how he does. It's real deep. It's real deep. You make it up in your head like a song you don't understand.
Well, question. Where are the tits? You said you wanted more tits.
No, that was earlier. This is the end.
This is the end. It's the finale.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Takes the gun. Takes the, we're still talking about the air canister
right,
thing.
Right.
Puts it in Javier's left eye and goes, "Heads or tails, bitch." And Javier goes, "What?" He goes, "I heard about you." Boom! There goes the left eye.
So you want Die Hard 5.
Javier's like, "Oh, God, my fucking head," right?
Wouldn't it be dead, Keith?
To be
esoteric, he has to not
Would
die
it be
from
dead?
That.
Javier didn't take a whole bunch of shit in this movie? Give me a break,
Heads
please.
Heads or tails, bitch. So Bruce Willis is now in this movie.
Why can't you say that? Right? No, you know what? These are the dumbest fucking characters, aren't they, by the way? They would be like, "Oh, this country is a wide country." And then, boom, right in the fucking eye. All right? This guy's like, "Oh, motherfucker, you're dead now." "I'm dead? You're fucking dead."
You just need two action figures right now.
The other eye. That gets fucking out. And then he appears to be dead.
Appears to be?
I don't know.
He's not really.
The end.
Did it turn into a zombie movie?
Now the end.
No Country for Old Men 28 days later.
I'm not going to tell you. Now, is that nice what I did?
No, it wasn't nice.
No, it's not nice.
That was not nice.
It's not nice.
Damn it.
Then,
there's more.
Yes.
Is this before or after the credits? Is one of those sneaky things?
No. The money is left in Javier's truck.
Right.
So he takes the money.
Who?
The good guy.
Okay.
He didn't really die from the Mexicans. He was wearing a bulletproof vest.
Because Mexicans can't kill good people.
He was expecting.
Mexicans are tricky.
He was expecting to be shot up. Uh-huh. Don't be silly. So then he takes the money and he goes away with it.
Where's he going?
Mexico, duh.
He's going to,
no better to hide but than amongst the enemy.
Well, he's going to another country. I don't mind. I don't need to know where.
Okay.
He's going to another country. Now, do you remember there were two kids there?
Yes.
That witnessed this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they saw really fucked them up.
Oh, dear.
And they become killers themselves.
You took a page out of the Quentin Tarantino handbook right there.
Did that happen?
No. In Making Kill Bill, in the second part and the third part, his next movie is going to be when the little girl grows up. Vivica Fox's daughter, she's the next movie. When she turns 18 or however old you need to be, that's going to be his next film.
Because you always wonder, like, what happens? Yeah. They got affected.
And he goes, "Hey, Javier just gave us a $100 bill for your shirt, but I should have that, too. You should have that, too. You're fucking dead." Punches him in the face. By the way, the air canister was left there. He air canisters his friend to death, right?
And that's when innocence is really lost.
Innocence lost, yeah. I call it. And then Javier, too. Innocence lost.
28 days later.
Yeah, Javier's never in it, by the way. He's
right.
Dead. And then he goes around air canistering people.
He's taking on the...
He starts at a school. He air canisters their assholes in.
So he's a murderer and he's rude.
He's not nice.
That's rude. You don't go air canistering people's asses. Frankly, how do you get someone to stand still for that, Keith? Don't you have to punch him first? Because I really wouldn't stand still if he said, hold on, let me kill you by air canistering you in your asshole. Well, I might take a moment and leave.
If you recall how the whole movie started, Javier pulls a guy over and says, hold on for a minute, and slowly puts that air canister to a dude's head and kills him. The guy just waits, thinking he's some kind of police officer.
You said the head, but in your scenario, right, it's his asshole. That you got to take your pants off and all kinds of crap.
Nah, not with this canister.
No.
It's just shooting right through pants.
It shoots through fucking metal locks. It's going to shoot through your fucking Levi's.
But I'm sorry, I am not going to give you the time to line up to my asshole.
Oh, I'll get you. Then I got your regular ass, and then I got your asshole. What's the big deal?
Why are you shooting me twice? That's just rude.
I'm getting your asshole, Patrice.
Damn!
That's the point. So there's my ending. And so it goes, says, every character had a beginning and end. Llewellyn, his greed, his unwillingness to sacrifice, ended up his failure. He was killed for this, and not even by Chigurh, but by the Mexicans. Carla Jean, her strength, her choice not to let a coin toss decide her fate, and in fact that in the end, all she wanted was her old life back. Ooh. She won, the wife. She won, even in death, by not giving this killer the satisfaction.
I think once you die, you lose.
Well, she didn't give him the satisfaction of flipping a coin, so good on her.
Boo.
I guess.
Wow, okay. I don't even remember that part. It obviously did not stay with me.
The pointless, in quotes, car accident at the end? Far from pointless. If he'd had died, it would have been pointless. The fact that he walked away shows that as much as we hate evil, we all do, right? We agree in this room? As much as it deserves to be stopped, it won't be.
No, I don't take that.
So he represents all evil, this guy.
Well, I'll tell you, Spooky told me something about, like, in most movies, you see that the good guy always wins and the bad guy always...
I was about to
and in this one... Like, it's not always a good guy that's going to win, and the good guy dies.
Yeah, the bad guy didn't lose necessarily.
But he gets to get away with things just like in real life. And I thought that was all right, you know?
You don't get an automatic answer.
I think of all the people, and not that I discussed this with anybody, but now that we're talking about it, I think when I talked to Spooky about it, he made the most sense of it.
Right.
And he made the best point of it. He didn't go too far in his head, like, don't you get it? He just got it.
He just explained his version of why he
I think Spooky gets it, mm-hmm. and just, like...
He's not playing that
holds
he gets it.
To himself, right. Yeah. And that's fine, but that doesn't mean I'm going to like it. Even if I do get it, it doesn't amuse me, and that's what I want from a movie. I want it to move me in some kind of way where it makes me feel something that that I'm interested in feeling.
I was tense that whole movie from all the killing.
I don't like it.
I was tired afterwards. Like,
well, you also it's a constant like what's about to happen,
right?
Which
is jumping, and I don't like that.
But they did that well, which
they
I think
did do
is
it well.
Good.
But it was just it's. A
I
lot.
Don't like it. I love how Spooky asked all his girlfriends to go to that thing.
That was really girly night. We all called him like, really hey, weird. Ask the gummy worms.
You guys are going to love this. I'm like, Spooky,
really?
Have you met us?
Why did you invite all of... What are you doing?
Tim from Australia is saying, just a sec, the movie did have an ending. The bad guy killed the good guy and got away with the money. Javier didn't have the money.
No, nobody had the money.
The reason... Maybe the Mexicans did, maybe.
I don't think anybody really
I don't think anybody
that.
Did.
No, I don't think anybody gets the money. And that's another lesson in life.
That's right.
The reason the car crash happened was to just keep showing how fucking hardcore the guy is.
Oh, bullshit. That's not why it happened at all.
I don't think so either. I think we figured out how hardcore he is when he kills people point
blank.
More
than anything,
the
car crash would have been to show that he wasn't invincible. Because up until then, besides getting, hurt in his arm and a couple other things, he pretty much kept it kicking.
You're more right.
But the same guy that, and so it goes is his name, and the same guy that goes through all the lists saying how there is an ending to each person... Then writes back later, okay, I'm having a frustrating time with something about this movie. Has nothing to do with the beginning or ending. It's the scene in room 114 after Bell comes back to investigate the cop. I talked with Spooky about this the other night. He was under the clear belief that, yes, the guy was behind the door. This happens, right? The cop is, like, looking into one of the old rooms where shootings took place. You see the bad guy behind the door. The cop ends up opening the door, and there's blood on the ground, but there's no sign of him. And they show a window, like, maybe he jumped out the window. That's what I figured. Looking at the scene, it's obvious he couldn't be behind the door. It just It opens slap against the wall. There are no signs that anyone was standing there. And if there were, the door would have never been closed. I wish I could share a video, blah, 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 blah. They also focus on the window locked from the inside. Was it locked from the inside? He's not gone out that way. He also wouldn't, just as he wouldn't hide under the bed. It's not in his character. At the same time, though, the figment of Bell's imagination's idea, there's a bunch of theories, like it's Matrix 3, seems out of place in the entire feel of the film. Where did it cause that kind of suspension of disbelief, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes into, like, I don't know who got the money. I believe nobody got the money. The guy didn't have it when he limped away from the accident, the bad guy. I thought that the Mexicans might have gotten the money, but that doesn't strike me as likely at all. But then what it does, I'm confused. So you weren't happy about the ending. You're the one who just said everybody had a fucking ending. You don't know what happened to any of these people.
The money wasn't important, though.
Boo! The money's not important. You're right. Everybody wants to kill this guy for $2 million, but it's not important at all.
I mean, in the grand scheme of the movie, what you were supposed to take away is that the money wasn't important. At the end, everybody's life got fucked.
Oh, I see. Don't lend money, whatever, because blah, blah.
That was the lesson?
Well, not don't lend money, but, like, everyone, regardless, over fighting all over this money, like, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead.
I wouldn't have been dead. You know why?
Carla Jean didn't do nothing to nobody.
I wouldn't have been dead, because after I took the money, I wouldn't go back to give the Mexican agua. End of story.
You're a murderer.
I didn't kill anybody. I just took the money from the dead people.
You're a murderer. You knew he was alive.
Whatever. I didn't have water. He goes back to give them water. What the fuck? Didn't you think that was ridiculous?
That he went back to give water to...
And that's how the whole thing started.
Yeah.
Because you gotta look at him.
I need to give you water. Do you see the crime scene? You're gonna go back to it and you didn't even do anything.
Right.
That's to give
true.
Him water.
You were
he's
innocent
half
until
dead.
Then.
He's you go back. It takes you a couple of hours to come back.
Many
you
hours.
You tell your girlfriend...
Because he haunted him.
It was high noon.
You're stupid.
It was high noon, and it haunted him in the middle of the night. It's been 12 hours. The dude's dead. You didn't make a good call if you wanted to be a good person. Too fucking late.
Now you're just stupid.
You know what I got out of the movie? Don't be stupid.
Yeah, your wife's
Should
dead.
Should he have left the money
you're
in the first
dead.
Place?
The money's gone. You're stupid.
Should he have left the money in the first place?
No.
Take the money.
Take the money.
Goodbye. My life is shit. Now my life is not shit.
But how do you See? Explain where you got that $2 million from?
You think your wife, who's desperate for you to find $2 million, is going to be concerned about your $2 million that you're now sharing with her? You know what? Leave the bitch then. Bye. You want to be so concerned about my $2 million?
You've killed people. You've left your wife.
No, he didn't kill
You're
anybody.
Making a whole new movie.
He didn't kill anybody.
He didn't help him stay alive.
Well, I didn't do this. I did not put
But you get to take the $2 million and run.
Water. He didn't have water at the time. Had he had water, he would have said, here's my water. Good day, sir.
I'm
leaving you here, though.
And by the way, that guy was going to die agua or no agua.
Of course.
You're dead.
It would have poured out his fucking stomach and his chest like a sieve.
Agua.
You came across, let's just say one guy. Make this seem realistic. You come across the street, it's the middle of the night. I don't know. Picture a neighborhood where you know there's no cameras and nobody saw you.
Bushwick.
You got it, Bushwick. You got a dead guy on the street. You look in the bag's open a little bit. You see money's pouring out. $100 bills. You know there's bank in there. What do you do?
I would take the money.
You would take the money.
Hide it on my person.
Hide it on your person.
And call the police.
Well, guess what?
I wouldn't even touch it then if I'm calling the police.
You're dead because I was just kidding. Somebody was watching you. Look around, Patrice. Look around.
Well, the only thing I'd be concerned with...
That's how I do riddles. What would you do? I'd take it.
Nice.
Well, the riddle is people were watching
you're
you.
You're like
dead.
A walking logic puzzle.
The only reason why I wouldn't take it is because any bills could be marked, especially with such a
Look
weird...
Look at this one. This one over here, Mission Impossible.
Well,
they're
I'm
all
serious.
Marked.
Good thinking,
the bills
baby.
Are marked, but the dumbass already took it. His life is shit anyway. He's not going
okay,
anywhere.
Sure.
The wife is dead weight. So take your fucking dummy wife and your dopey life and go to a place where marked bills don't give a fuck about anything.
That's true. It's called an offshore bank account.
And now you have nice margaritas in your hand and a nice piece of fish and a nice piece of steak and some potato. And your wife isn't nagging you anymore.
Nope.
And guess what? Life is good and you have a tan. I could solve every one of your problems.
Girl, all you got to do is kill
Info
somebody.
At keithandthegirl.com.
I would absolutely keep all the money with no hesitation. This is bad, evil money.
You give it to Heather. She knows where to put it.
She knows how to launder.
And, I know people.
Yeah, I would have no problem. This is bad money. It's just going to... It's not going
to
go to anything good.
Use it to do good things.
No, but you know that movie where the plane lands in the middle of that thing and the guy finds it And then his wife is like, we shouldn't take it. And he's like, if I find out these bills are marked, it's going to go straight in the fire.
Right.
If not, we're okay.
Okay.
And then she starts getting used to, like, oh, my God, we're going to have a comfortable life. He finds out the bills are marked, and she fucking hates him to bits and pieces because he throws it in the fire. Because if the bills are marked, your life is over anyway. Mm-hmm. Unless you move, like I said,
to somewhere
to where you have
matter.
Pina coladas in the morning that and nobody gives a fuck or that judges you. Marked or unmarked, they're happy to take it.
Or if you know people.
Right, right.
I mean, I know people. I don't trust them, though. The people that I know that would be able to do that, I really don't trust them. They would use an air compression gun on me after they finish laundering the money.
Listen to this retardedness, by the way, before we get into the gossip. This is about a girl in Kansas, a woman.
Oh, dear.
She found her husband on their bed in a pool of his own vomit, dead from an accidental overdose of drugs he received from an online pharmacy.
Oh, dear.
These pills were sent to CNN's Drew Griffin, even though he has never seen a doctor. Okay, I get it. Okay. Every night before her husband went to bed, he would open a prescription bottle of the muscle relaxant Soma and swallow the 8 or 9 pills it took for him to fall asleep,
wow.
said the woman. She spoke to CNN on condition of anonymity because she wants to protect her husband's identity and not embarrass his family. So they're saying okay. somebody that works for CNN did a test to see if you can get online drugs, and you actually could.
Of course, yeah.
That's all.
Big okay. test.
Right. The drugs arrived at the doorstep every week. She thought they were being prescribed by a treating physician. Her husband had been in a car accident and suffered back pain, and Soma was the one drug that could relieve the aches. She was wrong. The drugs were purchased online without a doctor's visit. She says that her husband had become an addict and that the internet sites that sold him the drugs were pushers. Quote, absolutely, she says, that's exactly what they are. These pharmacy people that are doing this and these doctors that are doing this, they don't give a dadgummit about people.
Wow.
It's just the almighty dollar, and that's all it is.
Well, that's true, because he's supposed to have a prescription.
Yeah.
Why? To keep to keep that money circulating in their fucking world. That stupidity that, you know, if I have a condition and the condition keeps going and I'm going to have the condition for life, why don't you just give me these pills for life?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's so many rules. You can't have a prescription longer than a year.
Not even that. If he became an addict, he probably requires more than the dosage that would have just kept him maintaining. He's probably dosing at this point.
You don't
point.
Think these guys are wrong for giving him the pills however he wants to take them? You don't think people abuse that? I understand some of the things. Like when I was going to go away for like a month and a half and I needed 2 things of pills because I was taking
birth
monthly.
Control pills.
Yeah, monthly pills at the time. And they were like, we can't give you the second one because the insurance won't cover it. And I was like, I can't find a pharmacy necessarily on the road, blah, blah, blah. And that annoyed me because
you can't kill yourself on birth control. And B.
Right. And I'm not gonna overdose, but I'm not going to overdose. Who the hell knows what people are doing with pills? So that's annoying. And there are a lot of things that are annoying like that. But online, no prescription, sending you as many as you feel like is very, very weird.
No, it is.
That's weird.
And there's some people
talking to your doctor to get more or to continue a prescription or whatever. There are tests that go with that. And
I had when I had knees. That's the penguin defense. When I had knee surgery, and I would need Vicodin, and the doctor would go like, "All right, you don't need it anymore." And I'm like, "I do need it."
You got to wean somebody. You can't just.
It's not even that. He's still in pain.
Okay,
I'm still in so much pain.
If you're doing pain maintenance, that's one thing. But him deciding that I need to go online and buy 8 or 9 Soma a night is a totally different situation.
Well, he's a fucking idiot. But
he's an addict.
Okay.
That's different.
Okay. At what point did he start with 9? Maybe he needs it, and the doctor's not taking care of
him. When the doctor was giving him 2, and that wasn't enough for him, he wanted 4. That's when it started.
I wasn't given Vicodin, period, and I debated about getting the stuff online.
Okay.
That's
and I have to say, I didn't blame him because he was in a ton of pain.
And I found a different way to get him, so let's be clear.
There's pain and then there's building a resistance. He was building a resistance to the point where he needed 8 or 9. He didn't start out needing 8 or 9. I'm sure he started out with 1 at the regular dosage, but then that wasn't enough and you need to build on that.
So why should I be punished?
I'm not saying you should be punished. If you're in genuine pain, you should be treated. But there comes a point where you, even though you're in pain, you're being treated, you step over to the other side. You know what? It's when you start taking it early so you don't have to feel anything at all. Like you take it four hours before you're supposed to start. And that's when you start building a resistance. It's one thing to treat something. It's another thing to over-medicate. He was over-medicated.
Okay.
And that's why he needed to go online and buy it.
So everybody gets punished now.
Not everyone gets punished. Your doctor should know enough to watch you and know what you need.
Well, they won't. Okay, doctors are dumb and they will not.
I like my doctor.
See, I don't. I get
you don't have problems now,
but
that's
I don't
why.
Think it's as connected as you're saying, because this guy didn't have a prescription to begin with.
He didn't have anything. He didn't go to a doctor.
Yeah, this guy didn't even start going to a doctor.
How do you know?
That's what you read.
That's what it's saying.
He was not being treated by a physician for
that. Yeah, so he didn't even bother trying. Now, then there's another argument of, well, me, Chemda, I don't have insurance, and sometimes I can self-medicate, I guess, you know?
There's like, a line to self-medicating, and then there's over-medicating. When you're doing 8 or 9 of anything an evening, that's over-medicating. You have a problem.
Hmm. I don't think I should be punished. I don't think other people should be punished.
I don't think you should be punished, but you should be treated.
You know what I'm saying, though?
He's saying that...
everyone has to suffer?
Well, he's saying that the doctor won't give him an extra bottle of pills because of people who take 8 or 9 a night and are like,
fuck this.
The
doctor doesn't give
you
an extra bottle because he won't be liable. Like,
right, so that's why he's saying he's being punished.
It's not even that. Like, I can get almost any kind of pills I want if I keep coming in, like, every month or something. Mm-hmm. So that they could just fucking jot down that I was there. I don't give a fuck. Start scams on the side. What do I care?
But I don't think... See, I think if the doctors kept giving you your pain medicine...
They will. If I show up, they
will. I know,
will.
But your whole life is going to be pain medicine.
It centers
you
on
need
that.
To
but
find
they
a
will.
Cure for the
you
knees.
Understand what I'm saying? But they will. They will give me these pills if I keep paying them enough. Fuck this. I'm just going to buy them online.
I see.
I'm not going to go for
then
insurance.
Then you have a shitty doctor in a shitty situation.
Well, guess what? I somehow, through my whole life, no matter what city I've been in this country, and I've been around, I've had shitty doctors. I just happened to get the fucking luck of the draw.
You need to see Dr. Marola.
Well, I'll take a look at him because there are far, far more shitty doctors than good doctors.
I agree. And that's why people always need a recommendation. That's why you can't just
look
in
there. Well, go see Dr. Marola. He's good times.
Rusty Payne, a spokesman for the DEA, agreed. The abuse of pharmaceuticals, quote, is one of the biggest drug problems we are dealing with. The internet is the biggest culprit. About $39 million.
I think pharmaceuticals are huge because... people who really need it fall into a trap.
Of needing it.
Yeah, and then also people think that because it's a pharmaceutical, it's not as bad as, let's say, marijuana or
right.
Coke or whatever. And then there's
and
also people who just want to get high.
You've been told it's okay at right. some point yeah. for some people.
A CNN investigation shows just how easy it is to purchase prescription drugs.
Oh, thank you, CNN.
It's not even a fucking investigation.
No, but thank you, CNN. I'm so glad that now I know how to get illegal things.
It is also unknown how many people have tried to commit suicide with drugs bought online.
Whoop-de-doo.
Nancy Fitzpatrick of Washington State tried to do it earlier this year. Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? Ban rope and knives and who cares?
Mm-hmm. Pills are the lazy man's way out.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know, like,
I can kill myself
you
by
can't
stabbing.
Teach suicide. And she just picked the way to do it.
I expected when this report started, be like, you got bad pills from the internet. Like,
right.
They were giving you
the
sugar
placebos,
pills or
yeah.
shit or something. But no, I guess they're giving the real
stuff.
They're
giving out full strength, people.
She showed CNN her prescription for Soma. The drugs were delivered by a pharmacy in American Fork, Utah, and prescribed by a doctor in Long Island, New York. I gotta look him up. I wanted to end it, she says. I wanted to die. I swallowed 130 pills after I fell into a deep depression.
What happened? She threw up?
She was depressed.
No, how did she make it out?
She didn't die after that?
I don't know. No, she didn't die.
Are those pills as strong as they say? Wow.
She was on low dose.
The doctor, by the way, lives in a $4 million estate on Long Island.
No,
what's
shit.
That have to do with anything?
That's okay. He went to med school.
When confronted about the prescription, he got into his car and drove off. And this woman said, they need to be stopped. It just boggles my mind that it's so simple.
They need to
there
stop.
You go. Root it for me, bitch. Mm-hmm. You know what? This goes to like the regular people that do illegal drugs or that did illegal drugs. And they go, don't do drugs. It's fucking terrible. Easy, shit, man.
It was awesome when you were doing it.
Yeah, quit dumping on my party. How about you wait until I've done to have my fun and then we can preach together?
Wait, bring this up at my intervention.
Yeah, you done now? Yeah. It boggles my mind they would let me try to kill myself with pills. They should have fucking known. You wanted pills and they did you a favor.
You didn't check the box that said gonna kill myself.
They would give me the pills and you and I could do. You could do that with regular drugs. You could take the whole bottle, you
Two
dumb bitch.
Two bottles of NyQuil, yes.
Sue Rite Aid. I can't. Why would I need 10 bottles of sleeping pills? They sold it to me without even thinking. I said, "Do you know I have 10? Isn't that a lot?" And they said,
"It's on sale. I have a coupon. CVS Books."
Can't even look at him.
Then don't take all the pills, bitch.
Can't even look at him. He's gone mad.
Oh, good.
All right.
Okay. You okay?
Yes.
Okay.
That concludes our retarded hour.
I understand.
Now let's get to brilliant stuff. You know, like celebrities. Who won the American Idol? Not that I would know.
David Cook won. It was David Cook and David Archuleta. David Archuleta is the one that received a bit more press. He's the one that was younger, and he had a bit of a stage father.
Okay.
And at one point during the show, towards the end, the father was actually banned from being at practice and things like that. But David Cook won. And it doesn't matter because the loser, David Archuleta, actually got signed to Jive Records today. So things like American Idol, honestly, I think you're better off when you lose. A lot of these competitive reality shows, they don't trap you into things. You have a bit more, you know, wiggle room. You can come out with a record just as fast. The people that have done the most successful are the people that lose Top Model. Winning Top Model doesn't mean shit. Like, you're better off losing sometimes.
You have the same amount of fame.
You had the same amount of exposure. I think you need to be top four, and then you're good.
Who was everybody's favorite? Was that him? No, I mean, obviously, you phone
It was a toss-up.
But...
It was a toss-up. I don't think any... It was, like, Archuleta with the younger group, you know, the younger kids or whatever, but I don't think anyone had a clear defined, this is going to be the person that's going to win. It was one of the seasons
Idol?
That it was... I don't really... I read about it more so than watch it, but, like, this was one of the ones where you were hearing an even amount of press, both of them being pretty popular.
Are they going to be on the Today Show Summer Concert Series? I hope so.
I don't know.
All right, I hope so. All right.
Nice.
Hey, we were playing earlier, yesterday, I believe.
Okay.
Michael Carino's Kid Nation.
He started
doing that again. He does it, now he does it with The Sun, apparently. But the show didn't come on yet, of course. Mm-hmm. And so they just Kid Nation. They just talk about anything. Is there going to be a new season of Kid Nation?
He may not have anything to talk about. He may just have to keep calling the show Kid Nation for the sake of calling it that because it's not returning for another season. It was canceled. We recently had the TV upfronts where they started to...
Did it even have a finale? Did it have a finish?
It ran the whole series. It ran the whole competition with that cycle of children.
Okay.
The cycle to have in the second season, they would have had to have a new, you know, set of kids and start over or whatever the case may
be. Did those kids from the old one get anywhere or move anywhere?
No. Not that I know of. I haven't heard.
Because they were a lot of stage
kids. Hide no hair. Yeah, there were a lot of stage kids. But not coming back.
I think Michael can still call his show Kid
I think it's
Nation.
Actually a cute title, Kid Nation, if you're going to be switching between the two kids.
Or Fucking Up My Kids.
Nice.
I was thinking for a title.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
I hope he still does it. And I'm glad his show's not getting in the way.
There you go.
Let's not talk about cutting balls.
Just have him watch different TV shows.
I think he should call it Mommy Needs a Prayer.
Right.
Where is your mother?
Yeah.
Call it I Shouldn't Be Saying This.
So TV upfronts, they start to announce all the TV shows that are up for possibilities as far as what's going to be coming on in the fall. So the new 90210, it might actually have Luke Perry now is the new word on it. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of excited. There's a couple other shows, but as far as
90210 sounds like it's putting in enough effort that that people might watch it. Because it's like the nostalgia thing. And
oh, of course, because you're getting two generations out of this. You got Jenny Garth in there already. Like, you got some of the old characters, so you're getting that angle. I think the working point at this point, besides the new family, is the fact that when we left 90210, the original series, that David and Kelly had a little sister. So now she's of age to be in that sort of realm of someone that you would see on the teen shows.
Let me make this clear. Mm-hmm. They don't have me, and I will not be
watching
it.
You don't have to. I'll tell you about it
but
later.
But I see the appeal for people who liked 90210 and for new people who, I mean, fucking if Gossip Girl could make
They're
it.
They're pairing it up with Gossip Girl. It's going to be a solid night. And that is the night that you do not need to call me and find out what I'm up to. You can come by the house. I'll be at the house. But also not returning to TV, Keith, unfortunately, is Phenomenon.
Phenomena!
No.
That's okay. We have our own Phenomenon, keithandthegirl.com/TV.
Yes.
Seemed like
no, you do.
You
weren't lying.
Short.
You know what?
You
I did
lying.
Cut myself. I was like, wait, keithandthegirl.com/TV or keithandthegirl.tv.com? It's all of it. keithandthegirl.tv. We got it all.
Yeah.
Try it.
Come up with a combination. I wish you would.
We already saw every trick. You know, I've seen every trick.
So jaded.
Between Celebrity Cadabra, I saw.
Just the title alone makes me just Celebrity Cadabra. Who wrote that down on paper and wrote four other names and that was the best one?
So, They're doing the same five, different variations of the same five tricks, mm-hmm. right?
Well, there are only, like, what, nine tricks every magician says?
That's what I think. And they turn off, like, I had it pre-recorded, and I turn off the whatever. It's the end of the show. And then I get back to live TV, and mm-hmm. it was on VH1, so automatically the TiVo goes to VH1. And I'm watching Flavor Flav all of a sudden. And Flavor Flav, to impress a date that he was on, had a magician come over.
It's what the same. Woman does that impress?
And it's the exact same tricks. I'll tell you who it does impress, by the way. Flavor Flav. See this flower? Now it's a necklace. Wow!
Boy!
Okay, and see this napkin? Nothing's underneath it. Just kidding. A rose. Wow!
Flavor Flav!
I like magic!
Wow! Stop doing Flavor Flav eyes. That's creepy.
Wow!
Have you seen, not to go off topic, but have you seen his new show?
No. I don't even watch his regular show.
It is so horrific.
Oh, the sitcom
his
show?
Sitcom. It is so terrible. It started a few weeks ago. It literally looks like the dry run for something they might tape later. Like, they just turned the camera on to see what might happen, and later we'll do the real show.
Wait, it doesn't have flavor?
It has flavor. It's so poor. It's so poorly done. Even for
Well, he's not an actor. He just likes to yell things.
And he has the giant chain, and it's just, it's...
Ooh. Are black people going, oh, God.
It made me sad, because I was like, are black people really, like, planning their schedule around catching this show?
Ugh.
But then again, they watch Tyler Perry movies. I can't account for them.
If I may say.
Uh-huh.
If I may be so bold.
Are you speaking to me or black me?
Black you.
Okay, black me. Hold on. Stop, son.
You guys have the shittiest taste in TV, and it's been going on for some time.
You didn't like Homeboys in Space?
Between BET...
I'm just saying, Keith, you didn't like Homeboys in Space. That shit had depth, okay? The future, and black people were in it. And, for once.
And Channel 9 here in New York.
It doesn't matter what you call it. Call it Channel 9, because whatever you do to it, it's the black people channel.
It is. You guys like shit.
They even gave up and just started replaying In Living Color. Y'all liked that the first time. We'll play it again. Shanaynay's still funny.
Well, that was a good show.
Jesus Christ.
Well, good luck with this new one. What's his name? I heard somebody told me.
I can't remember. It's like, it's something stupid, too, and I can't remember it right now. And it's on the chain. Like...
But I heard, like, he Flavor Flays it up, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's Davey Dave.
Yeah.
Davey Dave!
Yeah, yeah. We're keeping close to the chest.
Then? That's
it's
so
what I do.
Funny.
But yes.
Because it's an inside joke.
BET, too. BET is just disgusting.
Because you
I don't
know,
understand it.
Because you know that normally he says Flavor Flay.
Right.
But now he's saying Davey
he's
Dave.
He's a different character. Yeah, BET's terrible, too. I'll give you that, Keith. I'm not claiming that black television is the most intelligent television going.
Now, it may be...
We made Roots, though.
Yeah, right. No, that was good. What was that? 65? That was good.
It was in the late 70s, Keith. It was epic. Color Purple.
Mm. I
leave Steven Spielberg out of this. Color Purple.
No, it's shame on the white people.
And
but
it's shame on us for watching it, because that's why they make it.
I do believe that. Let's put it this way.
Okay.
Watching those TV shows, even in passing,
right?
Black TV shows, and knowing that black people watch those doesn't not add to racism.
But in the same breath, I mean, The Hills. There's a ton of really Caucasian shows that are quite silly.
Hills is for children. These Flavor Flav
they are
and
for
Cedric
okay,
the Entertainer,
okay,
these
okay.
are for adults that
yes,
go to work.
They are.
And it does. And I've been into a few white houses, mm-hmm. and I have seen white people, grown adults, mm-hmm. pass it and go, and then go to the next
channel. That's the thing that disappoints me, that white people get the black people have a thing. You get to behave how you want to behave at the house. But when you go outside where white people can see you, you're supposed to behave yourself.
So, talk at the meetings.
I've been banned. I'm not allowed at the meetings anymore. I raise
too many
my
thoughts,
hand too much.
Yeah.
And
you guys were really trying to even out that Oprah shit.
I know. Fucking Oprah. Speaking of Oprah, she had a TV show called The Big Give, and it is not returning to TV next season, not due to lack of ratings or lack of acceptance or people wanting to see the show. Oprah doesn't want to do a second season. She said her point wasn't to make a television hit, but to start something and put a seed into people's minds as far as being good people. That
to
she doesn't
pay it forward.
She doesn't need to get more money. She doesn't need to do multiple seasons. She just needed to get the point out there.
But if the point is out there, wouldn't the point be out there more with more? And what was her point, that if you have money, give it to other people?
Well, no, it was a game show. But the premise was the activity to get the grand prize was to do the most thoughtful thing as far as charity work.
Yeah, I don't think that's such a genius concept.
It's not at all. But Oprah's big give. It wasn't Patrice that give people money because they po. No. It
was, yeah, I don't think that, I don't know how inspirational that is to me. I get that I have to.
You're not a housefrau in middle America that thinks Oprah is part Jesus. So it wasn't, they weren't talking to you in this particular instance. But and she's right in a sense, because what happened was, of course, you put the Oprah name. Advertisers are going to want to participate. But now it becomes, they're paying her more because they're driving up costs more to sell more commercial time, and it wasn't about that for her in this particular. I'm not singing the praises of Oprah, but I'm just saying I can understand the reasoning.
She can stop working today.
She exercised her right to not participate for more money.
Good for her.
There you go.
What's the show with Denise Richards? Is that going on already?
Denise Richards has a reality series on E! I believe it's starting up it's starting up soon with the new cycle of reality shows that are about to start.
She's the one, she looked like she was becoming a real star.
She was during Wild Things era with Neve Campbell. She had a moment, and she let the moment pass and decided to go with the whole going to show my ass and Playboy kind of thing. And instead of, not that she was ever going to, you know, do Shakespeare, but there was room for the new Heather Locklear-ish.
And I'm sorry, did you say the show is going on now?
The show is about, it either just started or it's about to start because she's doing the press junket right now. I haven't seen it. I don't have cable.
She's a brick, right?
This is reality TV?
It's a reality show. It's a reality show about her and her life.
It's called It's Complicated.
Okay, this is going to bomb because who the fuck is she and who
the hell
is her life?
Well, it's not going to bomb because it's been controversial this week and during the filming because not only I'll watch it, but because Charlie Sheen is opposed to it. Charlie Sheen thinks that she's just a piece of shit for doing it because she has their children in it. The kids are being filmed in the show, and that's his
problem.
How
exciting could this possibly be? It's another person with kids.
Yeah, they're hoping a nipple will slip out.
I don't understand. Why are you going to watch this? I know who it is, yes.
You do know who it is?
Yes.
Yeah, she's not interesting, granted.
Yeah, who cares?
But name, out of the people who do reality shows, only a few of them are actually interesting in the sense that you would want to watch them in the first place. Exactly.
Why are you interested in this, Keith?
She's famous enough
that
I look forward to her coming out looking like a retard.
You're doing the train wreck factor of watching it.
I think everybody is, but yes.
Okay. I think they always are, but I don't. I think she's so boring, it seems. I don't know a lot about her, but it seems like she's so boring, there won't even be any train wrecks. It'll just be maybe she says a dumb thing. I don't know.
People hang on for that. It's E, first of all.
Well, so. I could be wrong, but
E gives everybody. Well, Lindsay Lohan's mother has a show coming out on E. Like
that's more interesting, because she's such a...
She's already the white Oprah.
But she's already a train... white Oprah. She's already a train wreck that, like, okay, I get the appeal there. But this woman hasn't done anything.
She's going to try to show how she is smart.
Right.
And that'll come off dumber and make it more fantastic.
You just love the dumb chicks.
But Charlie Sheen says about her, the reason that she shouldn't even... Because she went on, his problem was A, she has the kids in it, and B, she's saying this because she's doing the show because she needs money to support her kids.
Okay, now I see the train wreck.
Charlie Sheen says, Denise gets $52,000 a month tax-free in child support. Wow. Most people in America can figure out how to live on that, but Denise can't.
Most people can figure out how to live on that a year.
Yeah. In addition to child support, Richards received $60,000 a month, also tax-free, for 2 years in alimony, adding up to $1.44 million. She also gets a chunk of his TV show, Two and a Half Men, which will eventually net her up to $25 million. I apparently need to marry somebody
that
who
can't
knows
be real.
Some shit.
That cannot be real.
25. Who is giving Charlie Sheen that much money?
That's crazy.
That's my first question.
Well, that show is like the number one show for a few years.
I watched that show the other night, and I don't understand.
I watched it.
I don't get it.
I watched a marathon one time. I don't know how long ago. A long time ago. I did. It was three or four shows in a row, and I thoroughly liked it.
Maybe it's a white man thing.
I guess. Because John Cryer, all I could see is that he had a facelift that didn't work out. Charlie Sheen has the hair plugs, and that little boy is creepy. There's something where
that little boy is going to shoot someone.
That little kid, like when you grow
you
up.
You can't keep calling him fat on TV.
When you grow up and they still keep giving you the six-year-old Jerry Maguire haircut where you have the little bowl cut. He's about 45 and he's still getting that little bowl cut.
I just think that if I've seen promos with him and he has to eat
like
a sandwich for every single one of them, I'm not okay
in the movie
brain.
Theater one, he got his hand all in the popcorn. It's not nice.
I'm not going to be okay if that's how you're raising me.
Did you understand?
It's going to be manorexic.
I'm not okay.
Maybe you didn't understand the character nuances. You see, here, let me explain.
It is true.
Let me explain.
Because it's Two and a Half Men.
Right. Let me explain how that makes sense.
No, okay, go ahead.
The half is the boy.
Right, because he's not yet.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. But living with this one dude,
right,
who likes to fuck chicks. I mean, right, Charlie Sheen likes fucking
right.
chicks.
The bad guy.
So the kid knows the bad guy. So the kid knows this. So right. his innocence lost, right? Hey, right out
there,
the door.
Okay? Right, the innocence lost.
Now the other guy, John Cryer, he's like nerdy,
right?
Which is so opposite.
It's right. opposite. How are they going to make it work?
Wow. You can't, is what I'm thinking.
I don't want to give it away.
But they only made it work on Full House, Kate and Allie, and a couple other sitcoms I can name. But how will they make it work?
Well, for 15 minutes they can't.
Right.
And then,
and then the little boy starts shooting everybody with an air gun. But at the end, we're not sure if he dies because, frankly, we don't know where the $2 million is.
All of a sudden, there's a commercial for Tide.
Right.
And you got to check it out next week.
Wow.
But yeah, you just, some people don't get it. If you don't get why I thought that show was funny,
I didn't know to watch it with that eye. I'm going to have to go back and watch it again, and maybe I would understand it.
When you turned that on,
right?
Did you go with the feeling that I want to laugh little, or I want to laugh? Did you go in and go with
this? I went in expecting a comedy. That's my problem.
Did you think slapstick comedy?
I thought ha-ha funny sitcom.
No. Wrong.
That's subcutaneous funny.
Yes.
Nobody knows what that means. Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't, because they're dumb.
You know?
I saw Ace Ventura the other day. I got it.
Wait, is he a pet detective?
Yeah, he is. But you know what he's representing?
Pets?
America.
America.
Oh.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And our love of animals.
It's about Nom.
They all are.
Every fucking movie, people, isn't about war in Iraq. Jesus.
Except for Kung Fu Panda. That Kung really Fu is Panda. About the war in Iraq.
Look at the colors he's wearing.
Motherfucker. Also about Oprah, she's we're in sweeps, so coming up she is decided to turn vegan for 21 days as an experiment for her show.
Oh wow, big experiment. Somebody's cooking her every fucking meal.
Oprah makes you very violent.
It bothers
this
me.
Rich bitch.
Listen, if I was Oprah and I was vegan for 21 days and I'm not a vegan person, mm-hmm. I bet that I can hire
make
somebody.
This all tastes like pork.
$1 million, right. 21 days, you make this taste like the biggest, friest, most disgusting, nasty macaroni and cheese with fried bacon in it.
If I was really rich, I'd have asshole day where literally I would have somebody and like I put food in my mouth and someone go,
I chew it for you. It's just, these things are not challenging. They're just not. Right. You can do anything
but
when
she's
you have
Oprah.
Money.
Like I said, you're not a White House brow in the middle of America.
Well, I'm sorry.
Because you can't tell them shit about Oprah.
I think they'll all go vegan in their little hometowns that nothing's around but meat and dairy.
God help them try to find some of those vegetables.
Do they even know what vegan is? Oh, well, now they do because Oprah's awesome. Thank God. Now everybody knows what the word vegan
means. I love
means.
When they do those tests, not to point out people's ignorance, where they show people from, like, you know, when they want to talk about Americans only like liking meat and potatoes, and they'll show somebody an eggplant, and they just go, I have no clue what that is. What kind of vegetable is that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why do they need to know?
Eggplant.
Why is that important?
Tastes good.
I know because it was in Burger Time. But other than that, stage 4.
Pardon?
Other than that, I don't see why it's even important.
But they'll bring out different vegetables and just to point out how dumb we're dumb Americans. And they'll bring out different vegetables. Yeah.
No, and I know I'm dumb in other ways. But and vegetables aren't going to get me, but something else will. Where I'm like, oh shit, I should have known that. That doesn't mean you go. Why would they need to know what eggplant is?
When do you eat eggplant?
Because at some point, maybe there was a story that you read that had the word eggplant in it.
Or you saw a picture of an eggplant.
Because you go to the supermarket
and you're alive
and
there's options.
There. That's why. Maybe you don't know what.
Maybe you don't eat it.
Cilantro is.
Or carambola.
Okay.
What borders Missouri?
Who?
See?
That's not fair.
That's when I go, I'm an idiot, but I should know, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
You can't tell me I shouldn't know that. Why would I need to know that? Because I don't want to be stupid.
I could. Why do I need to know that?
You don't need to know what state borders Missouri?
I don't.
I think I need to know. I don't know.
What do you need to know for?
Well, because it's our country and you should know shit.
Because you might meet someone
exactly.
from Missouri.
And they would ask you, you know, what's
and they're
going
to go, hey, what am I border next
no,
to?
No, but.
Who cares a shit?
No, I think it's very.
It's just ignorance.
It's ignorance, and I think I know I don't know because I live here. I live in New York, so really.
That's all that counts.
New York, California, the middle.
Right.
Like.
I know a little bit of the top, a little bit of the bottom.
I'm glad y'all live there. Somebody's got to take up that space and not live here, but I know New York, California, the middle, and then Miami. Like.
How's Nick Hogan doing in jail?
Girl. Nick Hogan's in jail for 8 months for a spectacular car crash last year in which his best friend ended up in a coma. He is, he's unfortunately not liking jail right now.
What?
He's serving 8 months' time. And
How's he going to do with the 8 months if he doesn't like it for the first week?
That's what I'm saying.
I feel so bad for him.
He reportedly said to his mother, "Had I known this, I would have rather gone to trial or I would rather, you know, appeal the case or something. I can't deal with this for 8 months. My cell is like the size of my bathroom. No windows or nothing. Just one little top bed thing. All you do is sit there and think, and there's nothing to think about."
Okay. You see this? This is why people should know about eggplants. Because you should know that jail is not going to be fun. And you should know that you would maybe be upset
and you would
about
have
going to jail.
And you would have something to think about while you were in jail. He has nothing to think about him to. This is not going to make your case for parole look very good. You should be reflecting on what you
You're
did.
You're on timeout. You write a letter.
Jail is big boy timeout.
But I can't text anyone.
No.
Lou Pearlman got 25 years in jail.
They said, throw the key away.
Is that for he played with little kids?
No.
No, for money laundering. They haven't gotten to the play with little kids. Those are separate cases. He had a federal case for money laundering, and they put him under the jail for 25 years.
That's
this is the guy that did New Kids on the Block.
No, that was a different guy. That was Maurice Starr.
In Sync.
He had hands a little bit, I believe, in one point at the Backstreet Boys. A couple of other groups that were smaller but bigger in the whole Florida pop manufacturer bubblegum scene. And he
put himself in P. Diddy's things also, right? With the making of the band?
He was the original. He originated the series Making the Band. The first two seasons were about O-Town.
Before P. Diddy were, that's right.
And then MTV bought the franchise and brought it over and let Diddy take over. But, so he's doing 25 years so far. I'm sure he's going to appeal, but he's going to start serving time.
Wow, suckage, huh? You worked your whole life, and your life started getting good.
Yeah, but Bill, you could pay somebody to chew for you, and you...
You know, I bet you could pay somebody to do that time for you. Thank you. I come up with good things with money.
It's not going to take long before the rumor gets around jail, though, that he's in there for kid touching.
But he's not in there for kid
He's not in there for kid touching.
It doesn't matter.
That he is a kid toucher. That's
fine.
That's
what he's going to explain to fellow convicts?
I don't think they're putting him in with general population. First of all, it's white-collar crime. He's probably going to go to white-collar jail.
No, 25 years. Is there a difference? Keith was in jail and everybody was together.
I was with murderers and child molesters.
I think it depends on your situation. I think he may have a bit more financially to get a lawyer to make sure that he goes to the pretty jail.
Maybe.
I'm just saying.
Maybe. I just don't picture you being treated nice anywhere.
And also, he's a billionaire and he's a risk. There's someone that's going to want to hold him hostage. There's someone that's going to want to stick him up for extra money. I see him being in solitary. I don't see him being in general population.
I see him killing himself.
People don't like?
I do see that.
Yeah.
I do see that.
I see him
making an attempt
guy.
Because you have all that money on the outside. 25 years when you're in your 50s is it's game over.
You're done. Kill yourself.
Game over. So.
People also... I mean, you have to know that you're just going to die. People do not like solitary, and I'd be surprised if you picked that.
I don't think you get to pick it. I think they decide that you're a risk amongst general population. You're just going to cause havoc. Paris Hilton was a general population because that bitch would have caused havoc. Put her in a corner.
That's different than Lou Pearlman.
How is that different?
She is far more famous than Lou Pearlman. When we start talking about
Pearlman... I don't think we're talking about fame. We're talking about money. People in jail... What do they want? They want money in their commissary. You don't think there's somebody that's going to butt rape him in the shower every night talking about put $20 in my commissary, by tomorrow I'm going to rape you again?
I think he'd still want to be around other people.
I don't think he would. I think he'd be terrified.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see.
Kill yourself.
He's going to probably make an attempt, I'm sure.
Well, actually, I think he's going to think there's a good chance of appeal because he's got so much money, which was what I would be thinking first.
But he doesn't
anymore.
I'd wait
about 5 years.
Because they caught him for the laundering.
Kill myself. 5 years. Kill myself.
5 years? Okay. Putting bets on 5 years for Lou Pearlman.
So you're saying he doesn't have money?
He doesn't have as much. He's still a rich dude, but he really inflated situations by laundering the amount of money that he laundered.
How's Wesley Snipes doing in jail?
Wesley Snipes is not in jail. He has actually gotten clearance that he will not have to go to jail until his appeal is settled. Originally, he was supposed to go in June 3rd and start serving a 3-year sentence for tax evasion. And they've decided that he can hang out and be amongst the free people until they come to a decision.
Why is that? Because what's Facebook on his behalf?
Who?
Who's the actor that was like, no, you shouldn't touch this guy? A couple people came up and said, this guy's awesome.
I thought that had much to do with it. I think they just decided
it was
kind of
cool. Kidding.
Cruel.
How did he get away with this?
Good lawyers. How is R. Kelly still not in jail?
Oh.
How is R. Kelly's trial just starting?
Wow. You're right. Okay.
You're thinking, by the way, Woody Harrelson and...
Woody Harrelson is made of weed. Why would you want him speaking on your behalf? Right. I would be like, Woody, I love you, baby, but please sit down. He is made of weed.
And the other guy, Keith, is the guy that you always make fun of recently.
The guy from American Gangster. Mm. Patrice, my lady.
Denzel?
Denzel.
I haven't seen American Gangster.
Denzel Washington, my woman. Patrice. You haven't seen American Gangster, huh?
Boo.
Boo, huh?
I don't want to go see it when everyone goes see it.
You don't want to go see it. Ha ha! Patrice doesn't want to go see it. My woman. Ha ha!
This is what I get all day long, by the way, sometimes.
See why you go outside.
Ha ha! I threw that. Ha ha! Patrice.
Mary-Kate and Ashley.
You want to talk about Mary-Kate and Ashley, huh?
I do.
Let's get to the gossip then. You like gossip, huh?
Mary-Kate and Ashley, they live here in New York part of the time, and a barista at Starbucks, which they're known for liking, says that he did his part to make sure that they don't die.
Oh, good.
How so, did you say?
He blew on their coffee every time they went to take
a
sip.
No, we all know the twins are a bit thin. Whenever they would request coffee, he, instead of giving them the fat-free milk they requested, would give them full fat milk.
Fuck him. Wow. Let them die. Who cares?
Nick from D.C., by the way. I'm sorry to backtrack for a second. There's no way you were in jail, Keith, with convicted kid touches and murderers. Maybe they were pending trial or on trial, but not convicted.
Were you there?
Okay.
Wait, is he telling you, Keith Malley?
He's telling me.
That there's no way that you were in jail with murderers.
With kid touches and murderers.
He was kind of there.
Okay, maybe they were waiting for trial.
But they still...
Did I use the word convicted and it was so mind-blowing?
They were still suspects in the situation. I've never been a suspect for murder. I've been a suspect for a lot of things.
The murderer, specifically what I'm thinking about. I read the... Actually, yes, he was, actually. He was convicted because I read his court documents, Nick. So there is a way, Nick. Oh, okay. Nick, if we were in jail, your mouth would be first.
There's different... Oh. That's that jail mentality talking to you.
Yeah, but guess who's not going to be talking?
You put a man behind bars, he's never the same.
Wow. Wow, okay. Wow.
You do what you got to do. Don't judge.
You know what happened in my head? That's first, there's second, and... Okay, all right.
Wow. Guess what? This is all I'm going to say. There's four.
No hand holding on your part. Oh, my.
Oh.
Wait.
Oh.
I'm not even telling. Jail secrets. Yeah, no, he's absolutely convicted.
I mean, yeah.
He was showing me, this guy was showing me the transcripts of when he went to court to show me how he should have been found innocent.
Wow.
And I'm reading it going, oh,
and
my
guilty
God.
Guilty people love to tell you how they're innocent.
Oh, he killed these people. You're reading these transcripts of him in court. It's like, you did this. This is amazing. And I'm like, I'll just nod so you don't fucking kill me. But I'm here with the murderer.
It also, too, depends on your jail. I can understand what he's saying about how you weren't. Not that you weren't.
Right.
But it depends on the jail. Like, where Nick Hogan is being held, he's 17. So technically, he's being held in a juvenile facility. He comes from a really rich county. Where he's being held, he's one of maybe six or seven people in the jail. Like, it depends on overcrowding where you get placed.
Right.
So... somewhere like New York, you're much more likely, or you know, a bigger place, you're more likely to end up in a general population than not being nice enough to go, you know what, you committed a lesser crime. You deserve to go to jail plus. You're just going to go to jail.
Right. Well, I understand that, you know, the prison was worse, and maybe, I don't know. I did understand he was moving somewhere, and I'm sure it wasn't back home, but the entire time I was there.
You were very, he did it.
He was there. The entire time I was there, child molesters were there.
Now, did you get the feeling that... did you believe anyone when they said they didn't do it?
No.
Okay.
No, just no. I mean, the big crimes that I knew, I could... you can tell.
You can feel it.
You can tell by the way they move. You can tell by what they say. They talk way too much. They incriminate themselves way too much. You can just tell. And in general, yeah, you just get a vibe that we're all here for a reason. We're all here for a reason. That tattoo on your face, it's... I don't mean to Matlock this up without all that.
I like
evidence.
The ones that have it on the eyelids.
Yeah.
I like that the most innocent that Keith ever looks is when he talks about jail.
Oh.
How do you mean?
I don't know how I mean.
Because you didn't go for something real.
Maybe.
But it was real, no matter
what. I mean, not
what.
Real in that it wasn't, it didn't cause another person harm in that sense.
I'm not Javier. That guy's pure evil.
Your eyes are alive.
That guy's dead. And his eyes are so dead, they're alive, right?
I think your jail time was... I think I know what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying.
What I'm really saying... I really think that your jail time was really innocence lost. That's my real point.
You lost your innocence.
I did. I was innocence lost.
Oh, no. I keep mine in a box so I know where to find it. I'm not going to lose my innocence.
By the way, Nick's rating, then you're picking on my town. Then your bumfuck town is shit.
That's a, well, then.
That is a weird apology, Nick.
So when you play the Akon album, Keith...
Wait a minute. No, because apparently he knows. He went to jail for fourth degree assault. Right, and blah, right. Blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
Okay.
Fourth degree? What's the first three?
The first three is mouth, asshole.
Just rude.
By the way, Grand Theft Auto.
Yes.
Here's what I'm hearing.
Uh-huh.
The guy that plays the voice, Nico, of the main guy.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind, Grand Theft Auto, obviously breaking records all over the place, and I'm confused about the numbers. What was it, 300 million? Something insane.
Something crazy that's really incomprehensible, yes.
He got paid $100,000 for doing that voice since 2006.
He spent 15 months recording.
Wait a minute, but you know what?
I hope he gets a bonus.
But so what?
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying?
So what?
That's what you're getting hired for, and he's not the only one who they had to shell out money for. The biggest deal was how to make... electronically, your man move and other people respond.
But we're not putting it in the scheme of how much work. He's saying that the deal that he got in comparison in comparison to how much they made, he, first of all, booted you because you should have signed something for Roy. Everybody who's known anything, you want to cut it to gross. That's what you want.
But you might not be able to get that. Nico might be, this might be his first time really doing something
professional. Exactly. And it probably was.
And this might be your first step into, okay, now we hire you to other things. Or it might not be, but that's the way this shit rolls.
Oh, definitely.
You agreed to 100 grand. You probably thought it was fantabulous.
At the time, I was doing it. It was kicking it until you heard there was 300,000 behind it.
And you know what? 300 million, that's not yours.
Yeah.
That is somebody who took a risk, spent millions of dollars. And
on
it's
the
not,
game.
It's not a huge risk because you already know that Grand Theft Auto right. 1, 2,
which
and
3 is where it, which is where his stupid comes into play. If that's the case, right. You should have said, I would like 0.5% of the total sales.
Or you might have said, I want 0.5%, and they said, go fuck yourself. There's another person who could speak Russian or do a Russian accent.
That's true.
And I'm sorry, but you got 100,000. You worked for a year. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
You're not De Niro yet.
Yes.
You're not anybody yet. And that's the way that kind of thing works. And
he's,
you know,
but
you
he still has the right to complain. He still has the right to complain,
well,
and he's complaining.
I don't know that I would complain.
You don't. You have a right to complain? You also have a right to not be an asshole that I don't want to work with ever
exactly.
again.
Exactly. Now I don't want to hire you because...
They could have been Nico Returns.
That's not your money. Don't look at $300 million and go, why didn't you pay me more?
Mm-hmm.
Look at $300 million and why didn't you stay up all night to think, what's the next move that Nico makes? And why didn't you stay up all night going like, is this going to make $300 million or am I just pouring a huge amount of money in? Whatever it is, you didn't do it. You did this. We paid you
You did
this.
Your job and you got paid for your job.
That's all. Somebody else got this
but,
one.
Well, he wouldn't be alive if he didn't complain, and he's complaining.
All right. Well, congratulations. Now nobody wants to work with you in Hollywood or otherwise.
That's true.
And now you just, what are you doing?
They could have been an offshoot game.
Something.
Nico's
exactly.
Revenge.
Exactly. They could have wanted your voice now for other things having to do with Grand Theft Auto.
But no.
You make nice. They give you nice money.
You stay
you
nice.
You make nice.
You don't know. They could have been planning when the game certifies platinum or something. They could have gave you a gift.
A gift.
No, that happens when movies do really well. Sometimes the studio, after the fact, they'll cut the actors another check. Like, you know, good on you. Everybody loved it. Here's another check.
Maybe. They're not
but you
obligated
can't, you don't
to
come
it.
Into it expecting it. It's They're nice when you get it, though.
And it's not nice when you don't get it.
No, you're not owed it at all. It's a nice bonus, and it's something nice to do if it's somebody you're going to be working with continuously. That's all.
Hey, before we leave, what is this about... Nas, he was gonna put out that album.
Did
Nigger.
We not hear about that till the end of the earth? Nas was gonna put out an album. It's gonna be called Nigga.
Oh yeah.
What's the name of your album? Nigga. What does that say on your T-shirt? Nigga. What's on the back of your wife's jacket? Nigga. Women are the niggas of the earth. Just nigga everywhere. Well, now the somebody at Def Jam said, you know what? That might not be a good idea calling the album Nigga because it might restrict us as far as putting it in certain stores because if we write it on the cover, they're going to want to hide the album. So now his album hits stores July 1st and it will be called Nas.
Okay, that's the biggest form of selling out ever. You wanted to do a big to-do. You were a big man saying the word nigger. You were a big man putting it on your shirt, and you were a big man saying it everywhere. But when fucking Tarjay does not want to put you in the thing, then all of a sudden you're not a big man.
Nas,
nigger what?
Nas said, as far as he's concerned, because of this, he didn't do this
Def Jam's publicity department said, we are not going to call it nigger. We own this. We're not going to do that. He said, as far as he's concerned, the album's untitled now.
You know what? You got so much money and so much fame, and you want such a big splash. You're such a big man. You're so huge for saying the word nigger. You're such a big deal. Fucking put it out on your own and be that.
It's called the contract. You of all people should know that he can't do that.
Then wait. I don't know. Do something. Okay, you're right. Damn it.
What is he supposed to do? You know what, then? I don't want you to put it out.
All right. Okay, you're right, you're right, you're right.
He's got to wait till he finishes his contract.
I forgot that he has a contract with
him. And then he'll call the next album Nigga Gone Free or something, or Free Nigga.
But you don't think...
Nigga on the Loose.
You don't think we were just trying to be tricked?
From the whole record
company? It could be a little bit of column A, a little bit of column... You know, it doesn't matter. True. You know the name. You know Nas has an album coming out.
Oh, yeah, I just got upset. You're right.
You just exploded on yourself. I just did. Had to sit back and let it happen.
I really did, because something like, I'm titling my shit nigger, is just... Okay, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Good on you. I don't know what to tell you. It's what kind of boat are you rocking? All right. And so now you make a big splash, now you take it back, and now I'm being tricked, and it just gets me annoyed.
But how many months, if not over a year, was he saying that he's going to have the N-Word album? And then...
Oh, yeah, why didn't the record label pull that?
First time he says, I'm wearing the shirt because my new album is going to be called Nigger. And the record company doesn't go...
That's an even better title.
Hey, Nas, no, it's not.
Because he's getting press. They're not stupid. Free press is always going to be
free press.
That's
what he's talking about, is this is all this is all publicity.
You know what it is? It's okay, baby. Go ahead. Go tell everybody what your album's called. That's right. It's called Nigga. Who has an album called Nigga?
Who's the little nigga?
Who's the little nigga? You're our favorite nigga.
And you know, the whole record label is probably white. And they're like, so Nas. They have a meeting over, like, nigger.
Yeah.
So Nas wants to name his album Nigger. So here's what I think in terms of t-shirts for Nigger. He's just uncomfortable everywhere, and I'm sure that's what he's enjoying about it. And okay, fine.
Exactly. It's all about stirring the pot from his eyes and from their eyes. Free press is free press. Go ahead. Go be silly and tell everybody your album's called Nigger. You weren't going to win the Grammy anyway. Go ahead.
They got us again.
Not me. I'm not buying it. Right. I'm going to steal it.
You're downloading
it. Right. They're not going to steal your innocence. Ain't no innocence lost on your part.
No.
You still have all of your innocence.
Not at all. Any announcements before we leave here for the day?
Yeah. Since we're having all these guests, Patrice is going to be one of our guests for the telethon that we're doing. Mm-hmm. Keepingthegirl.com/events. It's going to be fantastic. 72-hour show. Non-stop live entertainment.
No one's going to pee the whole time.
We're having catheters. It's going to be really, really exciting. Bedpans and catheters. Don't worry about it. We don't have smell-o-vision.
I hope everybody has a great Memorial Day weekend. We're going to go camping, by the way.
For the first time by ourselves.
That's kind of cool.
It's slightly scary, but yet exciting.
You're not going to the...
No,
real
I'm
going to
miss the internet
enough.
Is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. You can borrow my broadband card.
No, just kidding. Also, if you want to catch the live show, keithandthegirl.com/live video, and you can watch the live show, go on, chat with others, watch other people's videos, watch us. It's a pretty cool system. keithandthegirl.com/live video. And when you miss Keith too much... When you miss him just too much, go to iTunes and download all his CDs. Just, you just write Keith Malley.
That's it.
And there it is on iTunes. You can download any track you want.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? Fancy pants over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny.
I knew that part of it.
Let me tell you something. When I miss him, I play his tracks.
I'm missing me sitting right there.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you very much. Popscribe.com if you want to check out Patrice's gossip every single day of the week. And we'll catch you guys next week. Have a good Memorial Day. See you Tuesday.
KeithandTheGirl.com